Good morning and welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to those both in person and those joining us online. Wherever you're coming from and whatever you're bringing with you from the week, we pray you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. I have a few announcements for you. Join us on Saturday, October 25th at 10 o'clock for the new Hebron Playground dedication. Enjoy fellowship, fall treats, and apple cider. We hope to see you there. Also, following worship on October 26th, there will be a congregational meeting to elect a nominating committee. Today is Dedication Sunday. We will now hear from Rick Bryan for our Minute for Stewardship.
Good morning, everybody. So on behalf of the Stewardship Committee, which is me, Carol, and Scott Parks, on this Dedication Sunday, we wanted to express our gratitude to everybody for your outpouring of generosity, love, and faith that we've experienced during the stewardship campaign. Now, the stewardship campaign is about only as wide as this, and it does end today, and to those who have already pledged or given, thank you very much. But we know that stewardship is a lot more than financial giving. It's about giving our time, talents, and treasure, all that God's entrusted to us. So as we move forward, let's not think of stewardship as the width of this, but the entirety of at least this property wide. It's an ongoing expression, that opportunity for expressing our faith and commitment. And let's continue to ask ourselves, how is God calling me to give? Thank you.
On that, I just want to make a note about our offering today. During the offering time, you will be invited actually to come forward and to place your offering in the offering plates as they are set on the communion table. Each of you should have received a slip of paper as you came in, a colored slip of paper. If you didn't, please raise your hand and our ushers will give you a slip of paper. Because stewardship is not just about money, and we don't just offer up financial resources, we offer up our whole lives, I want us to take those slips of paper and think about, especially during the prelude here, some intangible gifts that God has given you. Maybe it's time. You have a lot of time on your hands that you want to offer up to God. Maybe it's, your weeding ability. Maybe it's your friendly presence. Maybe it's your care for people who are going through illnesses. Maybe it's you're great at pottery. You know, many of these things that are internal resources which God has given us. Think about writing those down. You don't have to put your name on it. We're not going to come after you and say, aha, you said you were going to do this. But this is just a time to put before God and to offer up to God on this Dedication Sunday all of the gifts that he gives, all of the gifts that he calls us to use to love God and to love our neighbor. And then, and there's a little insert that says prayer of dedication in your bulletin. And at that point, after the doxology, we will say this prayer as it is printed. It should also be on the screens, but that make sure you have that out for that time. Thank you.
And now let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you.
please rise and join me as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
May heaven and earth.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High.
For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your works.
And the works of your hands I sing for joy. Same God that has gathered us to worship now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord of all, to thee we raise our voices in grateful praise for all the varied gifts which you pour out in abundance upon us. But most of all, above all, for the gift of yourself in Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave up everything so that we would gain the world. Lord, for this we praise you, and we ask for your blessing upon our worship, that we would worship in spirit and in truth, offering up our lives as a hymn of grateful praise. And send us out from this place into the world to be your people, loving you and loving our neighbors. Speak to us this day, we pray, through the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together. Almighty and merciful, most merciful God, we humble ourselves before you under a deep sense of our unworthiness and guilt. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have come short of your glory, broken your commandments, and turned aside from your way of life. Have mercy on us, O God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Pardon our sins, take away our guilt, and grant us your peace. Purify us by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, and make us able and willing to serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Our children's message story comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. And in this story Bible, it's called The Gift of Perfume, The Gift of Perfume. A Pharisee in Capernaum invited Jesus to a meal. And while he was there, a woman came rushing into the house. Now, she had a very bad reputation, and everyone was shocked when she threw herself down at Jesus' feet. She began weeping and crying and wiping her tears away with her own hair. "Can't he see what kind of woman this is?" said the guests in horror. Then she took out a jar of perfume, which was very valuable, broke the seal, and poured it out over his feet. The fragrance filled the whole room as the Pharisees looked on in disbelief. The woman was crying and covering Jesus' feet and ankles with her kisses. The host of the banquet, a man named Simon, whispered, "If Jesus was a true prophet, he would know what sort of person is touching him like this." Jesus turned to him sadly and said, "Simon, I came as a guest to your house, but you did not wash off my feet. Yet look how this woman is washing me with her tears. You did not greet me with a kiss, but she is covering my feet with kisses. You did not offer oil to anoint my hair, but look how she has poured a whole jar of perfume over me." Simon knew it was true. He had offered none of the kinds of things which were given to travel-weary guests in those days. He sat there in embarrassed silence. She has been forgiven so much, and that is why she loves so much. "But if you had only been forgiven a little, Simon, you would only love me a little." The other Pharisees looked at Jesus with growing anger as he took the woman's hand. "Go in peace," he said. "All your sins have been forgiven." "Who is this man who can forgive sins?" he said. "What right has any man got to say this?" But Jesus ignored them, gazing after the woman as she walked calmly away from the house. Oftentimes, we try to show off how good we are by what we don't do, by what we don't do. But how often are we given the opportunities to show how God has redeemed us and renewed us through what we give, through what we do for others? The woman in the story, though with a reputation damaged by her actions, in that moment, knowing who was in front of her, she poured out everything. Yet it was the religious people, the ones who were supposed to have it all right in their heads, who didn't even give him water to wash his feet. So let's not think about the gift and the calling of our lives as something about not doing. But what is God calling us to do to love him and to love our neighbors? Let's take that into our week. Let us pray. O God, teach us to wait upon your word with reverence and praise. By the power of the Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to the reading of your word, so that we may rightly hear and so obey your holy law. This is our prayer, and we make it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter, and the first four verses. As I've been saying these last couple weeks, we're in the middle of our series, The Gift of Small, and so we're looking at a facet of what kind of gifts God has given us that might in the world seem small, but can make a big impact. So last week we looked at the mighty few, the gift of people. And this week, Dedication Sunday, we are looking at the gift of resources. Resources that might even seem insignificant and small in the world, but which God uses for great purposes. So with that in mind, let us listen for God's word from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow who put in two small copper coins. Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Growing up, whenever my family was in the car, whether it was on a road trip or a drive to the grocery store, you could be assured that we were probably listening to National Public Radio. We enjoyed what was back then a mix of national and international news, classical music, local interest stories, and witty weekend specials. Even as a child, I learned to enjoy listening to national radio, even as it was probably way above my comprehension at times, but I enjoyed it all the same. The exception to this was in the fall. In the fall, every year, a sense of dread overcame my little child heart as the fall pledge drive approached. During this time, the radio was filled with asks for donations. Any space that there was between programming was just filled and filled and filled with them trying to make a case for our money. It seemed like the real content was so often replaced by a seemingly endless advertisement for pledges. It was just too much. Unfortunately, this is often the experience in church on a day like today, Dedication Sunday. And often, depending on the church in the whole stewardship season, you would become acutely aware of this if you're a visitor. It seems like the whole service, and especially the sermon, is emptied of its spiritual content and replaced with a last-ditch effort to try to convince you to make your pledge for the coming year. I think most of us shrug it off, knowing that an organization like a church, like any organization, cannot run without money. However, if we are really honest, it's too much. And it is truly unfortunate, not only because this idea, this overwhelmingness takes away from the worship of God, but it relegates our thinking about generosity to one season a year, and only when a budget needs to be funded. Yet for Christians, generosity is not a one-time thing, nor is it some kind of necessary evil. Instead, generosity is a heart posture which should characterize our whole life. It is a way of being that is rooted in the very center of our faith. And we see a prime example of this kind of generosity in our reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus and his disciples are sitting in the temple, watching as the people paid the temple tax. Now, this tax was originally the tithe which God required of Israel. In the books of the Old Testament, the Torah, God required a tenth of people's resources to be dedicated to God. They were often the first fruits of the field or of the livestock. They were meant to be given to God as an act of faith. But over the years, this tithe had been transformed from not only bare resources, but to monetary gifts, which could be paid into the temple treasury. There were problems with this system. Like most things, human corruption had crept in. In the previous chapter of Luke, before our reading, Jesus calls out those religious leaders for fleecing the poor just so that they could live in pious luxury. However, in the midst of all of this, this complicated reality of faithful giving and human corruption, Jesus notices a widow. A widow that has a heart of generosity. Those around her were giving out of their abundance. They were, as the text describes, rich. They probably felt pretty highly about themselves. They were showing off how much they could put into the treasury. And at least they thought themselves more highly than this widow who could only put in 2 meager copper coins. But as he so often does, Jesus flips the expectation on its head. And he says, "This poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." With just 2 copper coins, this widow demonstrated the radical generosity which characterizes people of true faith. Now, what Jesus is not saying here is that a life of poverty is somehow more holy or more faithful. This was the mistake that the medieval church made prior to the Reformation. Nor does Jesus commend a life of luxury and wealth. This is the mistake of the modern prosperity preacher. Jesus commends the widow not because of her financial situation, but because she gave what she had out of a generous heart. Jesus sensed in her that difference between those around her who gave out of their abundance. You see, generosity, first and foremost, is a posture of the heart. It is recognizing that all that we have, from the clothes on our backs to the food on our tables to the very breath in our lungs, recognizing that it all belongs to God. They are gifts which God gives us each out of love and mercy and grace. We are not truly owners of anything, but we are stewards of what God has given. And if we own nothing, truly, it makes little sense for us to try to hoard any of it. Instead, whether we have few or many resources, we are called to share generously of the gifts we have been given, knowing that ultimately they are in service to the giving God. I met a woman in Pittsburgh in seminary who told me that as a college student, she would write a check for $2.15 each week to put into the offering plate. She didn't have much. She was only a college student. And what she could give in the eyes of the world were but a drop in the bucket. Yet she knew that in God's eyes, every amount mattered. Every amount was valuable to God and could make a real difference, even her small gift. This changed how she viewed the rest of her life, how she viewed all of the things that were at her disposal, that no matter if she had a lot or a little, it all mattered to God. It all belonged to God, and so she should share it generously. Because God is so generous to us, we can give our lives to living generously, sharing what we have for the good of others and for God's glory. At the same time, while Jesus doesn't elevate a life of poverty or a life of wealth as more faithful, Jesus also isn't saying that it doesn't matter how much you give as long as you're grateful. It doesn't matter if you just give the teeniest little bit as long as in your heart you know that you're grateful for all God gives. The widow gave out of a generous heart, but it was still sacrificial. It cost her something. This is where her actions stood in judgment over those who were around her. They gave out of their abundance in such a way that it made little impact on their living. They could still live lavishly without much thought. It shows that their priority wasn't really generosity at all, but just showing off how out of their riches they could give but still live lavishly. They were showing off their piety to a watching world. The widow, on the other hand, gave in a way that would impact her life. But she shows her priority was generosity over hoarding for herself, trusting in the abundance that God had given her. Now, her actions stand in judgment over us in the West, too. We live in abundance. By all standards across the world, we live in abundance. Yet, if we're really honest, our priorities, what we talk about all day, what we read in the Financial Times, what we read in books that tell you how to save and get rich quick, our priority is more often hoarding for ourselves. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We as people in the West, we see abundance as scarcity, something that has to be guarded against from others, stored away in treasure houses, instead of trusting in the abundant gifts which God gives us and giving as we have been given. If we are not giving of our time, talents, and especially treasures in a way that affects and reorders our priorities and our trust, do we even understand how God has been so generous to us? Do we know what sacrifice really means if we can continue to live in relative luxury, unmoved by what we give away? I'm not saying that this is any harder or easier for any of us. It's just a condition of our hearts. And it all goes back to that reality that God has given us everything out of grace and love. So how can we be a people who do not give radically, generously, sacrificially? The author and pastor Tim Keller said that a heart which is truly gripped by the gospel, that truly understands that God the Son came down, took on flesh, lived the life we ought to have lived, died the death we should have died, so that he could give us everything. A person that is gripped by this cannot help but be radically generous. But he also says the opposite is true. We can say all we want about religion and faith, But without that radical generosity in our lives, we show the true content of our hearts. You see, it's not about budgets or pledges. It's not about looking pious than others or being more holy. Generosity is about backing up what we believe with tangible action. Putting, almost literally, the money where our mouth is. Giving of our time, talents, and especially our resources is a statement of faith. It shows where our priorities lie and in whom we trust. Generosity is a posture, is the posture of a heart transformed by the sacrificial love of God in Jesus Christ. So, in view of God's mercies, let us live lives of radical sacrificial giving, no matter the size of our treasures, all that the world might come to know the radical generosity of Jesus Christ our Lord. May it be so. Amen. Let's pray our prayer of discernment together. Lord, show us your will for Hebron and how you are calling me to serve. Amen. Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. God, whose giving knows no ending, we turn to you in trust and with thanksgiving for the abundance which you shower upon us. In view of your love in Jesus Christ, help us to be good stewards of all we have. Living with radical generosity, giving of time, talents, and treasures as we have been given. And now we name before you all for which we are grateful in this quiet moment. Holy Father, all that is belongs to you, for you created everything out of love and grace. Look upon your world in turmoil and send out your justice and peace. Especially we pray for our nation. Bring an end to our divisions and unite us in working together for the common good. We pray for peace in the Middle East, in Israel and Palestine, for the release of captives and for a brighter future. And now we name before you all the concerns that weigh heavily on our heart for the world in this quiet moment. Holy Son, out of love for the world, you gave up everything, even your very life, so that we might gain your kingdom. Empower us, whom you have redeemed, to witness to your kingdom in word and deed, with love and service, conviction and compassion, living lives of grateful praise. We pray especially, O Lord, for our siblings in the Anglican Communion as they face division. Unite them together in love and in the common confession of Jesus as Lord. We pray for this church, which you have called Hebron. Keep us in step with the Spirit and show us the new and fresh expressions of your mission for us as we discern your will for the future. And now we lift to you, O God, all our concerns for the church around the world in the quiet of this moment. Holy Spirit, you bless us with life and peace in abundance. Grant that in our hour of need, we may look to you, our source and our stay. Especially we lift up before you all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Let them know your comfort and presence. Bring healing and wholeness for each situation. And now we lift before you the concerns of our hearts for family and friends, for situations which need your healing balm. And we lift them in the quiet of this moment. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we commend and lift up to you all these our prayers and thanksgiving, trusting that you know our good, that you know our end from its beginning, and that you work all things according to the good of those who love you, whom you have called. And so we pray all these things in the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave. We are a giving people because first God gave to us. So as we come forward to bring up our offering, I again invite you to take that slip of paper and just for a moment to write a gift that God has given you. Maybe time, maybe a skill, maybe a mindset, and offer it back to God. As the choir stands to begin their anthem, that is the time when I invite you to come forward and just place your offering, your commitment card, and that little slip of paper into these offering plates, and then go back and sit where you are. So walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering unto God. Thank you. Join me in our prayer of dedication. Creator of all, the earth is yours, the world and all who live in it.
You have entrusted us with gifts, time, talent, energy, money, and asked us to use them to witness to your kingdom. With thanks and praise, we respond to your call.
We bring these gifts you have given, returning your generosity, paying it forward.
We offer ourselves, our lives, our hopes and fears, our dollars and our hours. We commit ourselves to work for your world, to love and serve wherever you call.
We ask your blessing on this, your church, as we seek to follow you with heart, mind, and soul.
Bless all these gifts, our investment in your future, that they may multiply in faith, hope, and love.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So loved the world that he gave. In view of God's mercies, let us live lives of generous giving, no matter the size of our treasures, knowing that it all is in service to our giving God. So go in peace now to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, every day, always, forever. Amen.